Teresa Walker, Associated Press. Follow her on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker, Hall of Famer. Hello, Teresa.
T.
Good morning, Greg and JB. How are we doing on this Monday morning?
We're making it. You know, we can't complain. It's one of those bittersweet mornings, right, Greg? Because coming off of two great championship games with the Super Bowl set, we're going to have that in a couple of weeks. But it's also that notion that, you know, other than OVC spring ball, we're not, you know, football's winding down here, and we're a football nation, right, T?
We are, and I tell you, for all the people who were upset about Mike Vrabel's decision on fourth down, let's just put it this way, Matt LaFleur found a way to top him.
Well, you take the ball out of your great and you hand it over to somebody else's great and say, hey, Aaron Rodgers, only thing you need to do is get a first down or two and game over. I mean, Tom Brady, I don't know. You got to still have – I mean, good Lord, this thing's been broken down 14 different ways. You know, I mean, it's fourth and eight. You know, if you don't get it, you need to get the ball back. Well, they're starting at the 8-yard line.
Right.
You're still going to have to score a touchdown.
But, you know, and, you know, LaFleur is thinking, as you know, T, 2:15 to go. I've got all three timeouts plus a 2-minute warning. My defense forced a couple turnovers in the second half. I think there's a good chance we get the ball back. That's why these head coaches get paid the money they're paid, right?
Did he not know who the quarterback was on the other team?
Right. I understand. Yeah. That. I okay. understand.
And
that.
Who his own quarterback is, guys? He's got Aaron freaking Rodgers. Put the ball in his hands, and I still wonder and tweeted it out at the moment. Why didn't Rodgers throw a run on third down?
Yeah.
He had a lot of room in front of him. So, you know, while we can pick on Matt LaFleur, and here's the thing, go with your strength. His strength, the strength of the Green Bay Packers, is it the defense? No. Is it your kicker? Okay, he made the field goal. But guess what? Go for the points. You know, it's a win. Did we see what Andy Reid did, you know? And Bruce Arians, when it's fourth down, go for it in a postseason game where when you win, you advance, you lose, you're toast and done for the year. There are times to play it safe and to do the chart, kick the field goal, go put it in the hands of your defense. And there are times to be bold. And, you know, yeah, sometimes it'll fall flat on your face. But do you think Packer fans would be happier today if Matt LaFleur had at least given Aaron Rodgers a chance? And let's not even get into the fact that they kicked the field goal in the first half, the two-point conversion, you name it. It's like the end goal, as Herm Edwards once said, you play to win the game. And that's the only thing that should be, guiding coaching decisions, especially when there's about 2 minutes left in a game. And, yeah, Tom Brady's on the other side.
John and I had sort of a disagreement earlier on that he thought that I'll let you state your case. But mine is that Rodgers stating afterwards that his decision-making on that third down was thinking that he would have another down. Maybe that's why he ran it when he did not. Him saying that in the post-game, I do agree with John that maybe he threw LaFleur under the bus, but I don't think he backed over him. I think he had to address it because it's the honest thing to say that he was disappointed they didn't go for it on fourth down. But John, I don't think he killed him as much as he could.
See, I disagree, T. I felt like he threw LaFleur under the bus. I thought he was being very passive aggressive. It kind of reminds me of somebody here in town, and I just felt like you. I just felt like, you know, the proper thing would have been to say, hey, I would have loved to have gone for it on fourth down. That's not my decision. I'm fine with that. But, you know, we should have been better on first, second, and third down. It was our job to stick the ball in the end zone. We didn't get it done.
Well, I'll say this, JB and Greg. It also feels like Aaron Rodgers is trying to deflect the blame a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the fact that he didn't run. I mean, you look at the screen grabs. He had all that room, and maybe, you know, he makes it fourth and one, you know? If he is stopped short, or maybe he scores, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers is going to have to live with for the rest of his life. You know, could he, should he have ran? And, you know, Matt LaFleur is going to have to learn from this as well. There, you know, and another thing, you know, Matt LaFleur was part of that Atlanta team in the Super Bowl that had a 28-3 lead. You know, there's times when you just have to, you know, you have to notice the situation that you're in. In that Super Bowl with the Falcons, you know, if they don't throw and take a sack, and I know I heard the whole thing afterwards. I was there covering the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the idea that, you know, you're trying to keep playing, be aggressive, get points. You get a field goal at that point, 31-3.
Right.
They managed to get it to overtime because you didn't get more points. You know, there is a point in time in every game where getting points is the thing that matters most. And, you know, you have to seize those moments. And that's where the great coaches are defined. And that's the reason why Andy Reid, you know, think about this. For so many years, Andy Reid was, you know, tagged as the guy who couldn't win the big one, right? You know, he only got the Eagles to one Super Bowl or whatever in his 14 seasons there, and now he's going back to back. You know, he's figured out that, you know, sometimes you just have to roll the dice and go be bold in the moment. I've heard the phrase somewhere, fast, physical, aggressive football. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can pay off in the postseason.
Yeah, and Bruce Arians, Mr. No Risk It, No Biscuit, is going to the Super Bowl. Made a bold move towards the end of the first half to throw deep on that play there. Teresa Walker from the AP is joining us. Teresa, you know, it's pretty hard to, you know, wrap your head around it. You know, we're going on Super Bowl 55, and Tom Brady will have, out of the 55 Super Bowls, Tom Brady will have played in 10 of them, which is absolutely ridiculous. But what I also thought was ridiculous yesterday, and you know me, and I get caught up on Twitter, and
I shouldn't
do it. But there are a lot of really, I'm sorry, just non-informed Titans fans saying, if we only had Brady instead of Ryan Tannehill, we would have made the playoffs. And you look at what Ryan Tannehill did this year, the numbers he put up. Ryan Tannehill, I'm sure you'll agree, is not the reason why the Titans didn't make the Super Bowl this year. It's your defense. And I don't even think the GOAT, now it would have been fun to see what he could do with this offense and the weapons and all that. But I don't, you know, sooner or later you got to play defense. And the Titans defense, is, to me, is the number one reason why they were one and done in the playoffs.
Well, if you'd signed Tom Brady instead of Ryan Tannehill, would that have brought Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett with him?
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, Shaq Barrett was living in Aaron Rodgers' face. There was one time he went around the tackle, and the tackle maybe got a fingernail on him as he sacked Rodgers. So, guys, calm down. That, you know, we saw the biggest issues. The offense was fine, and yes, against the Ravens it went missing in action, but the defense, you know, guys, you know, that's the area that they have to spend so much of their time this offseason trying to figure out how to fix, and pray to God that it includes an actual pass rusher to help Harold Landry. He's not a one-man wrecking crew. He needs help. Jeffrey Simmons needs help. It's amazing. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul was getting pressure. There was Barrett. They were missing their two safe starting safeties at a certain point in that game when one guy went down, and they were getting such pass rush, it just didn't matter.
Teresa, so John, you okay now?
I'm fine.
Feel great. You were ranting earlier this morning.
I went on a big rant earlier today. I whatever. It's Monday.
Hey, JB, you know how hindsight is second, 2020.
Yep.
And everybody's like, well, if we just signed him.
Right.
And it's like, you know, well, then guess what? Brady Mahomes might have happened yesterday. Maybe. But again, I go back to the fact that, you know, he doesn't play defense.
Right.
And he was still picked off three times in that game yesterday. And the reason that the Bucs were able to pull that off is because the defense forced the Packers to settle for a couple of field goals and got some turnovers in that game.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the Chiefs have opened up as a 3-point favorite, the over-under 56.5, and it's going to be on CBS on 5:30. Any initial thoughts? Because the initial knee-jerk for me, Chiefs, right?
Chiefs.
I'm not so sure. I don't know. Right now, I don't know.
Well, hey, it's tough to pick against Tom Brady, especially when he'll be playing on his home field there in Tampa. And they'll have fans in the stands, et cetera. But I'm not going against the defending champs. Guys, it's been so long since we had a back-to-back winner. I think this is the chance for it to happen because, I mean, you know, you mentioned as we opened about two great championship games yesterday. No. No.
Yeah, they really weren't.
The AFC Championship game was over by halftime.
Right.
I mean, I watched that game last year. You know, the Bills get out to a 9-0 lead. Oh, everything's going great. Look, the Chiefs are fumbling the ball. And then, boop, 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 and suddenly, you know, Mahomes and the Chiefs have got the lead. And I couldn't even tell you the final score. I just know it was a rout. You know, what was it?
38-24.
A two-touchdown win in the conference championship. So much for the Bills being the number two team in the AFC. So, yeah, the Bucs may very well. I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the champ until they show me they can't.
T, what do you make of the situation in Houston with Deshaun Watson? It's clear he wants out. You know, possibility maybe he goes to the Jets. I mean, how possible is this thing from happening, I guess?
Well, anytime a player wants out, it's absolutely possible. I mean, you know, look at where James Harden is now playing. Now, NBA and the NFL are completely different animals. It's a lot tougher. But that said, you know, he's their one star. I mean, you know, with all the moves that happened before, you know, I don't think that, you know, even if they were to hire Eric Bieniemy today, I don't know if that would be enough because he still knows that Cal McNair is the owner making the decisions, and then he's still listening to this Jack Easterby. And if you haven't read the, you know, SI stories from Jenny Ventress, and I can't remember the other writer, on this guy, you know, when your resume lists your job at one, you know, title at one, you know, position early in your career, like four or five different ways, and it keeps changing to make you look better, that's just a huge red flag. And, you know, there's just so many questions about this guy and his influence there in Houston. And I'm all for prayer, guys. I do it all the time myself. But, you know, I don't blame Deshaun Watson after seeing all the moves in this franchise. And the fact that it took him so long, you know, Eric Bieniemy should have been their first call for a head coach.
Yep.
Instead, he's almost like they're, well, we're trying to make Deshaun happy here. So I don't blame him for wanting out. And, you know, let the last guy left in Houston turn the lights off, which is crazy, guys. A year ago, they were the AFC South champ, and this is how
they were up 24-0 on the Chiefs in the divisional, right?
And it's all gone to heck.
They also had Bill O'Brien too.
But think of it,
Alabama coordinator.
Yeah. Teresa Walker with us at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter. We were just talking about the attendance. I want to go jump back with that. I was Super Bowl will allow 22,000 fans this year. But this is what I wanted to mention. The league is making sure to honor and celebrate healthcare workers at the game, inviting 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers to the game with all expense paid trips.
That's pretty cool.
Now that, you know, the NFL,
I mean, it's a nice PR move by the NFL, but it's also a cool move.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So so that would leave, what, 14,500 tickets available. So that, you know, to go. I just thought that was pretty neat. Tennessee. When was Danny White announced?
They announced it Thursday. They officially introduced him on Friday.
Okay. So last time we talked, it was status quo up on the Hill, right, Teresa? Last Monday?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it was like right after that it went to heck in a handbasket. I'm using that phrase a lot this morning, but yeah, the Houston Texans, Tennessee football, I mean, except Tennessee football has a decade ahead of the Texans and falling apart and making bad moves. but yeah, that was stunning. I mean, then we were all waiting. Guys, I wrote my prep on Jeremy Pruitt being fired at the beginning of December and finally got to use it last week. But then to have not just him, but two assistant coaches and seven others fired, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying, well, they're going to have such bad, you know, NCAA punishment. Well, they have, you know, almost done their own death penalty. They fired all these folks. They have a good argument to the NCAA. Yes, there were mistakes on our watch, but look what we did. We fired everybody that we could find to be involved with this. The AD, you know, while a clause in his contract for firing with cause exists, he's retiring. And they say because, you know, Donnie Plowman made it clear that the compliance people, they were hiding this from them, that they were doing their best and they couldn't find it. And it was a tip on November 13th to set all this in motion. And, you know, and yes, all of us reporters have tried to get the investigation information, but because they hired those two attorneys, it's now part of that, you know, legal stuff. So yeah, we can't get our hands on that just yet. But, you know, shocking, stunning violations. They have done everything that I would think the NCAA wants the university to do, that when you find cheating or whatever this was, you know, recruiting, impermissible benefits, et cetera, you know, to hold the people accountable. They fired them, showed them out the door. No buyout for Jeremy Pruitt, although his attorney, let's just wait and see what they settle on at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'll get something.
They're about the $5-6 million range, I'll just tell you that.
Yeah, he'll get something.
Well, and that the termination letter, guys, if you see it down at the bottom, CC Jimmy Sexton, his agent. So that I thought was very funny. But
who's everybody's agent, by the way?
Exactly. But here's the thing: Tennessee, and I think we're a little stunned by this. Dondi Plowman, Randy Boyd. You know, there's a lot of questions about these two, right? You know, is this Bev Davenport 2.0? You know, what's going on? You know, because leadership above the AD has been a big issue on the Hill for over a decade, right? Mm-hmm. But they within 3 days. They have hired a new AD and a guy that wasn't on my initial list because I didn't think that they would even think outside the box enough to do that. And listening to his news conference on Friday, you know, and looking at his track record of coaches hired is impressive. You know, you can laugh at the Central Florida claiming a national championship all they want, but it was great.
I thought it was cool.
They went 13-0 and they beat the team in Auburn in the Peach Bowl that beat the two of the teams that were in the championship game. I think it was Alabama and Georgia that year. So why shouldn't they claim it? Alabama's got tons of national championships they've claimed over the decades.
Right.
So, and he's, what he showed is he'll fight for his athletic department. Now he's got to hire something that has been a unicorn for Tennessee, a coach who can coach and recruit and you know, do it and make Tennessee look, guys, I don't want to use the word winner, but at this point, anything looking, you know, respectable as a football program would be a huge improvement. So, and that's the thing. At this point, we're all just, as Brian Rice wrote this morning, that, you know, Vol Twitter's going to be refreshing all day long, you know, because the clock's ticking. If Danny White was hired in 3 days and introduced on the fourth day, how quickly is he going to hire a new coach? Signing day is a week from Wednesday.
Well, it'll be the next few days, this week.
Yep.
Yeah,
yes.
And we are. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Hey, Teresa, thank you. As always, we will be dropping off your cash payment in a McDonald's bag and putting it on your, and putting it in your driveway, okay?
I'm loving it.
Bags and bags of cash for Teresa Walker.
See you, Teresa.
See you, T. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.